Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here to worship. It's a glorious day outside, and it's glorious to be here to praise our God. I am not Pastor Kim Engelman. Pastor Kim is fallen ill with an ear infection, so she will not be with us this morning. Instead, we will have Bob Harrison in the pulpit this morning, and I look forward to that. Well, it's great to shake a hand. It's great to see a new face. It's great to learn someone's name. And we have a God who knows all of our names. We have a God who knows everything about us. Sometimes we feel maybe a little bit too much, but let's take this time and let's offer our prayer to God. Dear God, we thank you for the blessings of these children, for the love they give us, for the love that they model. It's an unconditional love. And just as these children love unconditionally, Lord, so you love us. So you offer ourselves to us. So you offered your Son to us. So you are always available to us. Lord, we confess that there's some parts of us that we would want to hide from you, that we do not wish to share. There are some times in which we have behaved in the past, not according to your will, or we have not acted the way we wanted to, nor the way that we should have. We miss the mark. Yet in spite of this, you do not turn away from us. You offer your grace to us and forgiveness, that if we just confess our sin and repent from them, that you will give us forgiveness. We thank you for that now, and Lord, and we pray for forgiveness from our past misses, from the mark of where we should be. Lord, and you also teach us that we can pray for you for many things. And this morning we pray for healing. We pray for those with physical ailments. We pray for Pastor Kim, that she recovers from this ear infection, that she is made whole. And we pray for what other people suffer from, what we may suffer from, whether it's physical ailments, physical challenges, whether it's where our mind is, mental states, where it's we are in relationship to others, relationships. All these things wound us, Lord, and we suffer from them. But, Lord, we ask for healing in these areas, that you heal our minds, heal our bodies, and heal our relationships. And heal our souls, Lord. Help us to leave the regrets behind. Lord, and we also wonder and ask your help for the disasters that we hear about on the news and that may be around us, for the earthquake victims in Ecuador and Japan and the disasters that are unnamed that always seem to be with us, Lord. We ask that you comfort the survivors, minimize their sufferings, bring people alongside of them to help them, to minister to them. And help them to know that you are there with them, or you are always there, even when we don't see you. Lord, we see turmoil around us in the world governments and our politics at home. We see it in our homes. We don't understand. But we have faith that you do have control, Lord. You are in control. And you are looking after those who have lost jobs, who are losing friends, and those who are suffering from loss and confusion. We ask that they may see you walking beside them, even when you are not apparently visible, because we know you're there, because that's who you are, that is your nature. You are the God that is always with us so that we do not need to walk alone. Lord, we pray that as we face these challenges, that we may pray for boldness to proclaim your gospel, that you will show us where we should go to proclaim this gospel, and that you send us. Lord, we are in awe of your great love for us. We are in awe of the great things you have done to let us know of your love and your plan for us, of how you sent your Son Jesus to pay for our sin. We are in awe of how you speak to each of us today, how you meet us in our prayers, and how you answer our prayers. Now, Lord, in acknowledgement of this, we say the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now, many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. Then the high priest took action. He and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them into the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, Go, stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life. When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching.
Thank you, Kayla. Little did I know when I was installed as assistant pastor a couple of weeks ago that Pastor Bobby would be up here preaching to you. So there's another slide I guess I need to continue on with. Fortunately, we have a wonderful pastor in Kim Engelman who writes very well. So I'm taking no credit for this message today. I'm giving you what Kim would have given you this morning. I'm plagiarizing just all over the whole place. But I've always told her that I would preach more often if she would write the sermons for me. Well, she did it. So we get to do this today. I just got a text from Tim, and she is still dizzy. She has this inner ear infection, and she's in bed resting. So our prayers are continuing with her today for a speedy recovery. So her message today is on keeping your eye on the goal. So now, I want all of you to watch this video carefully. This is the most amazing golf shot I have ever seen. There is something very unique about it. And in case you can't see it, the guy who's golfing, and of course he's a Masters champion, actually skims the ball like you would skim a rock over the face of the water. The ball bounces twice on the surface of the pond and then lands on the green. And watch what happens. Well, we're watching diligently. So anybody want to share anything this morning about? So if we're not going to get the video, just please trust me. It's a wonderful golf shot. So should we go on, Dave? Okay, good. All right. Good. The video is the next thing that our large major capital fundraising will be for. So the people laughed really hard after, they cheered really hard after he He did this shot, is Vijay Singh, if any of you know anything about golf, and it skips over the water a couple times, and then it rolls like this, and it rolls right into the cup. And the people go wild. And so, you know, Kim said, I didn't know you were allowed to get that excited at a golf tournament. And they really were. But there's something and to be said for keeping your eye on the goal, isn't there? On where you want the ball to go. He looked at the ball, Vijay Singh did. He looked at the flag, and then he looked at the ball again. He looked at the flag, and it was a hole in one. That probably didn't happen the first time he tried that shot. But one thing for sure, I believe he always knew where he wanted the ball to go, the direction and the goal. So now that I have your attention, I want you to know that what is true in golf and in many sports, looking to where you want the ball to go is true in life also. You could say it this way, that the goal or the flag on the green is your purpose. The ball, and you can see the flag there, that's the hole that the ball went in. The ball itself is your mission. You want your mission to fulfill its purpose. If we have the mission as a church to know Christ and make Him known, then we need to think about how we direct that mission. Do we know what direction we are going in? To fulfill the mission, what is it we want to achieve? A couple was traveling through the countryside and they were lost. They spotted an old man on the side of the road and asked, "Where are we?" And he said, "Where are you going?" They said, "We don't know." And the old man said, "Then it doesn't matter." When we do not know where we are going, then it really doesn't matter where we are. It is only when we know our purpose that we can determine our priorities so that we can achieve that purpose. And this is true for our own lives, as well as for the church. The great military leader, General George S. Patton, before a great battle, would gather his soldiers into a room and ask them this question, "What is your purpose?" In other words, what's the end game? He knew that was the single most important piece of information every soldier had to know if victory was going to be won. What's the end game? Or the ultimate purpose? Is it also a phrase we have used in our intentional? It is also a phrase we have used in our intentional parenting class. When we get into our roles as parents and grandparents, the day-to-day grind, sometimes we forget the end game with our kids. Would we say the end game is for them to get into Harvard or Stanford and have them be terrible people who lie and cheat to get ahead? I don't know why she left out Cal, but she did mention Stanford and Harvard. Or Princeton. That's for Dick Spencer. Okay, so. Or is it more that we want to raise kids who have a moral character, who will make the right choices, have God live in their lives, and who will contribute meaningfully and compassionately to our world? That end game, if we keep that in mind, is really what then determines the choices that we make as parents and grandparents on a day-to-day basis. It determines our priorities. If we truly want to raise kids with character that maybe then maybe church rises up on that list of priorities rather than just adding an extra math tutorial class. Well, Jesus has left no doubt as to what the mission and the purpose of the church is to be. Standing on one of the mountains that surrounded the Sea of Galilee, Jesus made a statement clean, clear, and concise that has now become known as the Great Commission. That commission is built around a little word, and it carries a big punch And that word is go. Somebody has observed that the word go is two-thirds of the word God, one-third of the word gospel, and half of the word good. It is a little word with a big meaning. But not just go in any direction you please. Rather, go in a very specific direction to make disciples. Go and let people know about me, Jesus said. Go and stand in the temple courts and proclaim and declare and tell the people. Rebecca and I heard a song this morning about going. God told Noah to go and build an ark. And the song, one of the lines in the song went like this. If God tells you to go build an ark, it's not going to be just another rainy day. And this word go is said and played out in Acts again and again. We see hear it in the scripture that Kayla read this morning. Verse 20. Go and stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. All through Acts, all kinds of discouraging things happen to the disciples, the apostles, to keep them from going in the direction of sharing Jesus with others. They are thrown in prison. They are stoned. They are flogged. Rumors spread. People think they are from Satan, etc., etc., etc. And the list goes on and on and on about the obstacles that are in their way to get that mission off course. That ball, they want that ball to fly into the sand trap. And if you aren't golfers, I'll explain sand trap to you after the service this morning. It sounds like you don't know what sand traps are, but anyway. Someone once said, if you choose a road without obstacles, friends, chances are it doesn't go anywhere. This road of sharing Jesus with others went somewhere. It changed everything. And you better believe the apostles had a ton of obstacles to deal with. But every time there was an obstacle, the Holy Spirit made a way through for them. That's kind of what the book of Acts is all about. This account, if you read it on from where Kayla left off, is really kind of comical. And again, the book of Acts has a lot of humor in it. But the Roman guards, all decked out in their armor, with their spears in hand, are still standing in front of the cells that were securely locked, where the apostles were supposed to be imprisoned. But when they went in, there was no one inside. Where do they go? This really speaks to the futility of people's efforts to dissuade what God wants to see happen. God has a purpose, and He will fulfill it. Nothing can stand against it. However, He chooses to involve people in fulfilling that purpose. And what's the purpose? To bring people to Jesus. That's the direction that He wants to see the ball fly. We are to go and share with others what He can do for them and who He is. And one of the best ways to do that is to share your own experience of God's love in your life. Just tell the people about Jesus. And please note, God sent the apostles free from prison, not just so they could lead more comfortable lives, but so they can go and stand in the temple courts and proclaim this new life. The main problem with many churches today is not that they do not know their purpose to share Christ, but that they just don't do it. Someone once cleverly wrote the following letter in response from Jesus Christ to His church. And the church's reply to him, it illustrates the point. And here's the letter. Dear Christians, this is from Jesus Christ. I have been given all power and authority in heaven and earth. Go then to all the people and make them my disciples. Tell them how much I love them. Share the good news of my living presence. I will be with you always, even as you do this, to the end of the age. I have given you the power and the ability, the conviction and the hope for this task. I gave my life for this. Do not be afraid, for I will lead you step by step as you share my good news with the world. Shalom, with all my love, Jesus Christ. And this is the church's reply. Dear Jesus, our Lord, we hereby acknowledge receipt of your request. The proposal is very interesting, and we feel that we should probably undertake this project, not immediately, of course, but as soon as it may seem feasible. Due to the shortage of personnel and several other financial and personal obligations, we do not feel that we can give it proper emphasis at this time. A committee, however, has been appointed to study the plan, and we should have a report in a few months. In the meantime, we are honored to know that you have considered us for this task, and we appreciate your offer to serve as resource people. We should choose to undertake this project. You may rest assured that it will be given careful consideration by our committee, and we hope to have an answer at our earliest convenience. Your obedient servants, the church. What if the apostles, upon their release from prison, kind of winced and said, "We aren't really wanting to share about you right now, God. We've just been in prison. Kind of want to go home and take a shower. And we have these wounds from a recent flogging, but thanks for letting us out of prison. We really do appreciate that part." In 1929, when the Soviet government wanted to wipe out the church, do you know what they did? They passed a law not to close the church buildings, not to prohibit worship on Sunday mornings. No, that was fine. But to make it a crime to go into the neighborhoods and reach out to people. Believers had to stay within the four walls of their church on Sunday morning. And the Soviet government said, "You can meet. Just don't go spread it around in the neighborhood. And when we meet here, and that's all we do, that's when the mission to know Christ and to make him known loses its momentum and direction and flies off course and goes into the sand pit or the sand trap. We must go and make him known. But something else that is so important to understand here is this, and I'm sort of shooting myself in the foot. This is Kim speaking. But did you know that nowhere in the Bible are we told to bring non-Christian friends, neighbors, or co-workers to church? Now, there is nothing wrong with doing that, and sometimes it's a great thing to do, but Jesus said we are to go to where the people are first. Be witnesses where they are. Many times I hear people complain that you just can't get people to come to church like you used to. Well, I think if Jesus were here in the flesh, he would not be asking the people on the outside, "Why won't you come to church?" He would ask us on the inside, "Why won't you go to them?" Many of you know that I used to work at MPC, that's Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, and this is Kim. And I had a great mentor and friend who was the executive pastor there, who taught me just about everything I know about ministry, the Reverend Walt Gerber. Bob Harrison, that's me. And I had the privilege of going to Walt's memorial service this past Thursday, and I was there. Walt passed away 2 weeks ago. The place was just packed. We had to get there an hour early, and it was just completely filled. It was like a homecoming. I saw a lot of people I knew, and the atmosphere was charged with a lot of grace and joy. And I actually wrote a memoir about Walt, and that was in the bulletin at MPPC, And I also, it's also on my blog, and you are free to read it if you would like to read it online. If you can find it online, good luck. And that's my, I don't know, I hopefully you know how to get to the blog. There was a lot that was shared about Walt as a person. People brought out his authenticity, his mastery of the 20-minute sermon. And by the way, it takes longer to write a 20-minute sermon than it does a 40-minute sermon. I hope I don't go 40 minutes today. Am I getting... Okay, I've got a few pages and I'll be done. Okay, good. His ability to see people's gifts and use them. He had an ability to constantly encourage everyone. He always encouraged me, even when I failed. I'm telling you, the first time I ever spoke at MPPC, and we can all identify this, I had no idea what a great sound system they had. And I was asked to read the scripture. Before the sermon, I had learned at Princeton to project my voice. I had come from a church that barely had a sound system at all. Now imagine this. You come into church. It's a lovely summer day. You kind of want to relax, meditate, listen to some light and blissful piano music as you get ready to take in the sermon. Ah, God's presence is here. And then this new woman pastor gets up and blasts you out of the water with a scripture reading. I mean, the rafter shook as the sound system took my projected voice and blared the scripture passage out so loudly, people were just stunned. No one moved. They just stared at me with wide eyes, their ears ringing. I did not realize I was coming across that way. No one talked to me after the service. They just looked at me askance as if to say, what's wrong with her? But you know what Walt said when he saw me? He said, you really read that with authority. Well, later I found out from other sources that I needed to tone it down. And I was at MPPC when Kim preached her first sermon, and there's another part of Kim I think we all identify with. She gets a little excited sometimes. And her first sermon she preached, I don't think there was any punctuation at all. It was just one blum, blum, blum. It was great. But she has since learned to put in punctuation. Walt was an encourager. But you know what kept coming out again and again? Over the course of that memorial service, the thing that was mentioned the most, more than an encourager, it was Walt's love for Jesus and his total commitment to him. He was so excited about Jesus that he couldn't stop talking about him everywhere he went. And it was always about the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the plan that Jesus had for people's lives, how much he cared for them. Do you know who was at that memorial service besides all the pastors and church members? The head of the gym where Walt went to work out. Someone introduced me to him. I said, oh, how nice of you to come. He said, I'm here because Walt made our health club his ministry. I said, really? He said, yes. Walt loved people, and he was always talking to everyone about the Lord, and it was the coolest thing. He just loved us all. And I am here before you because of him, and this is Kim, and the impact he made on my life. The whole place there was transformed because of Walt's love for Jesus. Everyone knew it, and everyone loved him. And he would pray for us, and God would work, and things would happen. It was just amazing. For Walt, he was not just a pastor at church. It was his relationship with Jesus, his love of Jesus, his passion for Jesus that defined him. And because of that, everywhere he went, he couldn't stop loving people and talking about the one who loved him first, Jesus. This is what one of the eco-films that Bob showed us recently on Tuesday night was embracing. Wherever you are out there in your week, that's the mission field. We don't have to bring people here. We go there as God's people, as His 21st century apostles. The word apostle means sent. The command is to go, and we are sent. And in this film that I showed, it was by Jeff Vanderstelt at the National Gathering. He's the pastor at Doxa Church up in Washington. And he's a believer in people being disciples and making disciples who make disciples to go and share the good news. It wasn't about coming to church. It was about going out to touch people in their everyday lives. And he told a story about one man when he first arrived at this church, and the man walked up to him and said, "Pastor, I want you to know what you're supposed to do. Your responsibility is to feed me." And Jeff started talking about that and thinking about that. Feed me. I'm supposed to feed him. And then Jeff said, "Well, what have you been doing here at the church?" And the guy said, "I've been ushing for 40 years. Ushing for 40 years. And through this dialogue and their friendship, this usher who had been ushing for 40 years, through his training under Jeff, became a disciple and found out he had the gift of evangelism. And he went out and shared the good news outside of the church. And people came to know the Lord." And Jeff said, "40 years. What have you been doing for 40 years? You could have been an evangelist." And I ask the question of you, what have you been doing for the last 40 years? And I ask it of me, what have I been doing for the last 40 years? Maybe for you today is not go and stand in the temple courts and tell people the full message of his new life. Maybe it's go, be in the stands at a soccer game and tell people, go. Be at the water cooler at work. Go, talk to the person next to you in the line at the grocery store. Go wherever you are out there and tell the people the full message of this new life. Wherever you are out there, be all in for Jesus. Please, people, don't hold back. The time is short. The truth is that if you love Jesus, really love him. Walt used to always talk about the intimacy with Jesus. If you have that, you will also be able to study to truly love people from your heart. The two go hand in hand. Closeness to Jesus and love for people. Closeness to Jesus, love for people. You can't love Jesus and not love all the people he gave his life to save. And when you really love people, not conceptually, but actually, that kind of authentic love is so catching. People are just starving for it. They want it badly. See, that's God's kind of love. It's outrageous love. It's unconditional love. It's what we all long for. It's authentic love for people. And authentic love for people never turns people off. As you go in the love of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, people will be drawn to you like a magnet. And as you go to prison doors will be opened, just like they were for the apostles. And lives will be changed. Any place where you are out there can be a ministry. For Walt, it was a health club. Where will you be tomorrow? The next day, see it as a ministry and trust that God will give you all that you need. Go and share His new life with others. Go, and the purpose of our mission statement here at WVPC to make Christ known will be fulfilled. It will be a whole in one. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this timely message to us. May our hearts be open and receptive to You, that we will take the next step and not just sit in our chair, but to move forward in Your presence to let others around us in our everyday work world know that You are Lord and that You have salvation for all of us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Benediction. Go, stand in the temple courts, any place you are this week, and tell the people the full message of this new life in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.